Turn with me and we'll read together from God's Word in the book of Romans. And we're turning to Romans chapter 8. We're turning to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to commence our reading at verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Paul writes, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now move to verse 28 of the same chapter. Paul continues, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. We know God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. There's no doubt that for many of us today, saved and unsaved alike, times can be tough and the pathway seems very, very difficult. I read an amusing story recently about a man who met a pirate. The pirate was a dear old friend and he hadn't seen him for many, many years. And as the man walked and met the pirate on the way, he noticed that the pirate had lost a leg and that he had a hook on the end of one of his arms and he had a patch over one of his eyes. So the old friend stopped with the pirate and he said to him, "Sorry to see you walking like that. What happened to your leg?" "Oh," he says, "that be the day when I fell out of the boat." And he says, "I just about hit the water," he says, "when a crocodile took off my leg." "Oh," he said, "that's terrible." He said, "What about the hook on your hand?" "Oh," he says, "that be the day when I fell overboard. And just as I was climbing back in again," he said, "that was the day the shark rose out of the water and bit my hand off." And he looked at him, he could see the patch in his eye, and he said to him, "Well, what about the patch in your eye?" "Oh," he said, "that be the day," he said, "it was hit with bird droppings." Well, of course, the friend looked at him and he said to him, "I can understand He says, I can understand totally. He says, how the crocodile might take off your leg. He says, I can understand how a shark might bite off your hand. But he says, I can't understand the bird dropping. Oh, he says, that'd be the first day I had my hook. You see, in one way or another, people suffer. You know, boy, you and I are not immune to all that happens around us. And sometimes people say to me, Pastor, why do bad things happen to good people? Some people ask, well, why do bad things happen at all? Over the summer months, we've been looking at this little series on Sunday morning entitled Text for Troubled Times. And with a number of different texts, we have sought to encourage ourselves and the Lord. And I hope in some way that we have been helped as we face all the demands and difficulties of life. Last time we were looking at 1 Kings 19, where we noted God's servant Elijah in the valley of despair. He had just enjoyed what was perhaps the highlight of his ministry. Remember how on the top of Mount Carmel he'd been in confrontation with the prophets of Baal, and God had sent down fire from heaven, and Elijah had been on the mountaintop as God revealed himself as the only true God in Israel. But very soon Elijah comes from the mountain of triumph into the valley of despair. He's so far down that he wants to die. His life is in such a mess that he just doesn't see any point in going on. He has set an all-time low, and for him there seems to be no further reason for living. Mentally he was distressed. Physically he was drained. Spiritually he was depressed. And he was in such a low ebb that he prayed and asked that God would take away his life, but God didn't do that. Whatever God's purpose for Elijah was, it was not the end of his life. It was not the end of his ministry. In fact, it was a new beginning as God recommissioned him to the work. Beloved, remember, every disappointment for us may well be God's appointment for us. Every discouraging experience may be a stepping stone whereby we become more like Christ and more useful to God. And every situation has its own purpose. So we need to be careful that we don't waste them, that we learn from them, and that we become everything that God so desires us to be. Today I turn your thoughts to Romans chapter 8, to these verses I've read to you, where I see divine realities for distressed saints. Some divine realities for distressed saints. The book of Romans is a very interesting book. We don't have time to go into all the details of it, but you'll know from your reading of it, it's a book that brings both challenge and comfort to the child of God. It's filled with instruction as it deals with all the great doctrines of our faith, and it teaches us how we ought to live out our Christian lives. It challenges us not just about life, but it gives us great comfort in death. What a great source of comfort Romans 8 is. This chapter we've read this morning, think of the number of times you've heard it read in the home during sickness, perhaps during a time of bereavement, because it gives the child of God so much hope and so much comfort and encouragement. Paul says, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, absolutely nothing, not even death itself, is able to separate us from the love of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones ministered for 30 years in Westminster Chapel. He once said of this verse that it was packed with more comfort and doctrine than any other verse in the Bible. And of course he's talking about the text I want to leave with you today, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Packed with more comfort and doctrine than any other verse in the Bible. But there are many believers today who have a difficulty even with this verse with all its clarity. It's one of the most remarkable statements that the Apostle Paul has ever made. And yet you and I know that even though God is on our side and even though God is by our side, we're not immune to the problems of life. So when the dark days come and the lonely nights are here and the difficult passages are spreading out before us on the pathway of life, how can these things ever be for our good? I'm sure that's a question you've asked yourself on more than one occasion. Well, let me mention three very simple things today that I hope will help you and encourage your heart. Firstly, we see here God's own special people. God's own special people. If there is anybody who can have consolation and comfort in this ever-changing world in which we live, with all its ups and downs, it is the child of God who is trusting implicitly in his God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. This verse is often misunderstood, and very often it's quoted, even though people don't know the truth of it. It's a great verse and it's a helpful verse, but it cannot be applied universally to everyone. You'll note there's a limitation in this statement. There's an emphasis which needs to be grasped. All things do not work together for good for everyone. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This verse is for those who love God. This verse is for those who are called according to his purpose. Now we need to understand immediately that none of us love God naturally. In fact, the Bible says we're not only born in sin and shapen in iniquity, it tells us that you and I, in that sin, are the very enemies of God. We're alienated from him. We have a desire to do our own thing and to go our own way. But thanks be to God and to the grace of God in our lives, we have been brought from darkness into light. We have been brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are loved by God, and we love God today because God, first of all, loved us. Isn't that what John says? We love God because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. If there's any love in these hearts of ours today for God, it is because God first loved us. It's not a natural thing for any man or woman to love God. But if this verse and the truth that it contains is to have any real meaning in our lives today, then we must stop. And we must all look at our own relationship with God. We begin by examining ourselves and asking ourselves if we are in fact numbered amongst God's own special people. For the comfort of this verse is for them, and it's for them alone. Friend, let's be clear about this. And I'll make this so simple that I hope you'll understand it perfectly. Society today puts people in all kinds of boxes. They're put there according to their class, according to their color, according to their creed, according to their academic ability, and so on. Society seeks to put so many people in so many different places. As far as God is concerned, there's one dividing line. And all other divisions don't matter. We either belong to God today or we don't. We're either in the family of God or we're not. We are either saved and bound for heaven, or else we are unsaved and bound for that other place that the Bible speaks about, that awful place called hell. So whatever the divisions that society mentions today, God has only this one division. We either belong to him or we don't. We're either saved or we're lost. And everywhere throughout the scriptures this is emphasized, and it's emphasized for our good. So let me ask you this morning, have you ever received the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Have you ever repented of your sin and accepted God's free gift of salvation? Have you ever responded to the call of the gospel as you've sat under it, not just for a week or a month, but some of you for umpteen years? Because if not, and you're sure about that, then the truth is that you're not saved and you're not numbered amongst the people of God. So as we come to this verse this morning, you need to understand immediately the awful plight that you find yourself in, while so many are rejoicing that they belong to God and they're on their way home to heaven, you're still without Christ and without hope, and that needs to change. Because you're going through life without a Savior. You're hitting the difficulties and all the bumps along the road like everybody else, but the reality is you have nobody to turn to. There's nobody who understands you. There's nobody to give you the comfort that you need. And you'll never have that until you know Christ as your Savior. Just recently, as I was sitting in a home which for them tragedy had struck, the lady turned around and she simply looked at me and she said to me, "Pastor, I just don't understand how the people can make their way home throughout this world in which we're living and do so without the comforting hand of God upon them." But friend, that's what you're doing. In your sin, you have no standing with God. You have no purpose for living. You've no hope for eternity. You're not numbered amongst the Lord's people. And this verse really has little to say to your heart or to your situation. We see God's own special people. We see God's own special purpose. Listen to what Paul says again. "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now this is a fundamental truth. It's something that we all need to grasp today. As far as his people are concerned, God is overruling in all things. And he's doing it such a way that ultimately it will be for our good and for our benefit in the long term. I remember going into a home on one occasion to see a family whose young son in his 20s had died with leukemia. They were devastated. And I remember sitting down, not really knowing what to say to try to bring comfort. And he turned around, he said to me, "Do you know what comforts my heart today, Pastor? It's this. That behind the scenes, God has been shifting things about for this day. And in days to come, God will be shifting other things about for our good and ultimately for his glory." That's faith, isn't it? It's all right to pray, "I know all things work together for good to them that love God." And the next moment we're plunged into despair to cry out, "But where are you, God, now when I need you?" This is a fundamental truth. Yet some of you might be saying to yourself, and you're going to ask me, "Well, Pastor, hold on a moment. In the light of my own individual circumstances, how can that be true? How can what I am going through right now be for my good? Why would God permit me to pass through these particular experiences if God really loved me?" Well, this verse reminds us, and experience has taught us, that God knows what's best for us. And what he does with us and in us and through us is not just for our good, but it's done for his glory. All things work together for good to them that love God. That means the losses and the crosses. That means the disappointments and the defeats. That means the sorrow and the sadness. That means every situation, even if we find ourselves devastated by what has happened to us, God in His wisdom and in His love is able to take all of those experiences and He's able to work them and weave them together that they might be for our good and for His glory. We mightn't see it at the time. In the midst of the tears, we might not accept it. But even the darker providences of God all fit into His plan and His purpose for us. We've often sang the words of Cowper's hymn, have we not? God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Beloved, those days and those ways might be mysterious to us, but they are perfectly clear to Him. But I hear some of you saying, but Pastor, I know what you're saying, but wait a moment. Why do I have to go through the fire? And why do I have to swim through the deep waters? What good does this really do me at the end of the day? Well, Paul has already said in Romans 5 these words. He speaks about the grace wherein we stand, and he says, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. God is working behind the scenes, and not only that, but God is working in us, and He's molding and He's making and He's changing us into the kind of people that we want to be. God makes all things work for our good. I went to visit a lady one day who was dying of cancer. And this lady was so upset within herself that she didn't want to talk to anybody or meet with anybody, and so she just stayed up there in her bedroom, got up, dressed every day, sat there, the food was brought up, whatever she could eat, and she just didn't want to leave that room. And I went to see her one day, and as I sat down, I had two or three things in mind that I was going to read to her. And she said to me, Pastor, would you read from Romans chapter 8 for me? I said, I will. And I began to do so. And when I came to Romans 8 verse 28, she stopped me. And she said, Pastor, a short time ago, had you have read that verse to me in the situation I find myself in, she says, I would have told you it wasn't for my good. But then she said one day as I was sitting reading, she says, my daily notes, I came across a poem. And she says, God used that poem to make me understand that all things, and I mean all things, do work together for good to them that love God. And then she quoted that. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He seeth the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly shall God unfold the canvas and explain the reasons why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. And she says, you know something, Pastor? And she lifted a blanket of her knee that she'd crocheted. She turned it over and she says, do you see, when you see that side, she says, it looks like nothing. But she says, when you look at the other side, She says it takes on a whole new meaning. Maybe that life of yours today, you're looking at the underside, and you're despondent with what you see, and you're concerned about what is happening, and you just can't grasp the things today that you're passing through. Well, just stand back for a moment. Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. God knows what He's doing. And more than that, God knows why He's doing it. Someone has said this: God is too wise to make mistakes. He is too loving to be unkind. Seeing the hand of God in everything enables us to leave everything in His hands. Corrie ten Boom, in her book, The Hiding Place, relates to an incident in her life when God overruled for her good. She and her sister Betsy were transferred to one of the worst of the German camps at Ravensbrück, a camp that was overcrowded and flea-infested. When they arrived there, Corrie was distressed about the condition of the camp. And one night her sister Betsy rebuked her and told her that the Word of God told them to rejoice in all circumstances, but Corrie couldn't see any good in hers. However, in the months that followed, they were able to hold Bible studies and prayer meetings without any interruption from the guards. And months down the line, when they inquired, the reason why the guards would never have entered the barracks was because of the fleas. One day, Corrie bowed her head and thanked God that all things worked together for good and that God had a purpose in everything, even in the flea-infested, overcrowded camp where she found herself at that time. Listen to these words again. God is too wise to make mistakes. He is too loving to be unkind. Seeing the hand of God in everything enables us to leave everything in His hand. We see God's own special people here. This is for those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. We see God's own special purpose moving and shifting behind the scenes for our good and for His glory in all things. And then we see God's own special power. There's no doubt that God's in control of everything that happens to us. I sometimes cringe when I hear Christians talking about luck or fate, something happening to them by chance. Beloved, God is omniscient, so He knows everything. God is omnipotent, therefore He can do anything. And He can do everything. He's a sovereign God. And whatever our circumstances, and whatever the world in which we live today, and sometimes it would drive you to despair, we can shout out today, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You see, we as Christians are not only saved and special to God, but we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Think about this for a moment. Everything in time and everything in eternity that concerns us is in the hands of God. Everything in time, everything in eternity that concerns us, it's all in the hands of God. That's why Paul speaks here of what I'm calling salvation's chain. Listen to this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Do you see what I mean? Everything in time and everything in eternity that concerns us, it's in the hands of a sovereign God. And that's why in every situation of life, we need to look to Him, we need to rest in Him, and we need to draw from Him. Without getting bogged down today for the time that remains, in this vast and often controversial area of election and predestination, there are some things that we can say today without a shadow of doubt. God has chosen us on the basis of His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So God has chosen us, He has saved us, He has justified us, He sustains us, and one day He's going to receive us in the glory with new bodies, and we'll share forever in Christ's eternal glory. What I'm saying is this. No matter how dark the day for you and me, no matter how difficult the pathway that you're going through at this time, always remember this. Our past has been dealt with. Our present is in the hands of a sovereign God who's well able to keep us from falling. And our future's already secure. Because one day we'll be presented faultless in His presence with exceeding great joy. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it like this. It's tragic that trials and troubles should be necessary, but that is what sin has done to us. We need to remind ourselves continually that we are pilgrims of eternity, that death is not the end, and that glory is awaiting us. You see the problem for many of us today? We look in, and we're often disappointed with what we see. We look around us and we're often discouraged by the times in which we live. We look at others and we see so much that disappoints us because we're so judgmental and so critical at times about them. And we fail to look up and to realize that God is still on the throne. And we fail to look on to the end and know that one day we're going to be with Him in the glory. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. These are divine realities and of great help to distressed saints. Why? Well, we're God's own special people. And thank God He knows the way that I take. God's own special purpose in everything that He does, and ultimately for our good and for His glory, even the dark experiences of life. God's own special power. Remember this. He who has saved us is well able to keep us, and He will bring us safely home, and you have His word on that. Doesn't the hymn say, He will keep me till the rivers rolls its waters at His feet? Then He'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Keep looking on to the end today. God has a plan and a purpose for us. It's not just for life. This is an eternal purpose. And you and I must put our hand in His and follow Him every step of the way. It might not seem to us today, but God does know what He's doing. All things work together for good. To to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, there are times when in the midst of days of affliction, days of sadness and trouble, that we fail to see the good in anything, let alone the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Remind us today that we are creatures of time and that You're the God of eternity. Remind us today, our Father, that we have no control of so many of the situations we find ourselves in, but that You are in control of everything. We're glad, our Father, that You've saved us. Thank You for Your marvelous, matchless grace. We know that You're well able to sustain us, and come what may and come what must, we know the day will come when You will bring us safely home. So help us today, our Father, not just to look up, but to look on to the end, until that day we're safely gathered in. And as we have thought, our Father, of so many of these texts and Sunday mornings, throughout the summer months, we pray that some of them will help to lift us far above our circumstances and cause us to rejoice in the God of our salvation. We ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.